to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
Today, as we cover the lesson that we are about to tackle, I must confess that this is not a very easy topic to deal with. Yet, easy though not it is the need of our times, the very need of our hour. So we are going to look at God's presence, the missing something. Something is missing in our society, something is missing in our homes, something is missing in our very lives. And so we want to understand the needs of our times. God's presence, the missing something, will be the bigger vision of what we are approaching and tackling. And we shall have subtitles under the big heading, God's presence, the missing something. And so today's lesson, we want to focus at just understanding the needs of our times. As I've already said, this is not an easy subject. Let us go before God and ask for His help, even as we tackle this difficult topic, yet a very needed topic at our times. God, we are grateful that we have You by our side. Thank You that even in moments when times are dark, when times are difficult, Your children can come boldly to Your holy throne of grace. And we can receive mercy, we can receive favor that can help us in our times of need. And Lord, we confess that these are times of need. These are dark times. We need Your presence. Everywhere we turn, there is evidence of suffering. There is evidence of deep pain. There are times of wondering, where is God? What shall I do? How will I go through life? Lord, listening at this very moment are Your own children who are faced with difficult situations and circumstances. We pray together that You will descend in our midst, that Your Spirit will minister to each one of us at the point of our need. But above and beyond that, Lord, we pray that You will be gracious enough to shower us again as a nation with Your presence. That, Lord, You will visit us in our homes, in our societies, in our communities with Your very presence. Lord, that You're going to infiltrate our very lives with Your presence, that we shall experience the joy of having God hovering round and about us, that we shall experience the inner strength that manifests itself where the presence of God dwells, that, Lord, we shall hear Your voice again. We shall rejoice at the presence of the living God. So help us as we tackle this difficult topic. Draw our hearts to Yourself. Draw our minds to Yourself. Engage us and speak to each one of us at a very personal level. Thank You because You care for us. Thank You because You are touched by the feelings of our own infirmities. And thank You that You are here ready to help us. Follow. We have prayed this in Jesus' name. So we've already established that today's topic is not very easy. But I should also confess that God has continued to burden my own heart for this nation. He has continued to burden my heart for our homes. He has laid our own children very heavily on our hearts. And that is the whole reason and purpose why we are looking at this lesson. As I began to prepare for this lesson, I actually went back into the 1600s and the 1700s and decided to take a little civics class or civics lesson, just brief lesson for the purpose of this lesson. I went back and looked at the colonial period to find out why did colonists actually move to America? What is it that attracted people to the United States of America? Why was United States of America so conducive? Why was it so inviting to those many who traveled from England and in Europe, all over Europe, to come and settle here? And my brief lesson reminded me that those colonists were looking for different things. They were looking for freedom. That was the key. Many were looking for political liberty. There were those who traveled all the way in search of religious freedom. Many were also looking for economic opportunities. Some were specifically looking for a conducive place where they would practice their own specific religion. And there were also those who ran over here to escape the persecution that was taking place in their own countries. So in the 1600s, all the way to the 1700s, colonies from England, colonies from all other European countries actually sailed across the Atlantic Ocean to the American colonies, looking for freedom, looking for liberty, looking for peace, looking for prosperity and blessings. And today, we are still looking for the exact same things. Man is still looking for freedom. Man is looking for peace. We are looking for tranquility, that inner settled peace that just settles our heart, that calms our heart, the peace that secures our surroundings and ensures that we have blessings and prosperity. But as I looked at that little civic lesson, as I put it, I found out, as we may all know, that if you look back at the lives of those who lived back then, many of them were godly men and women who knew God. Those were men and women who followed God wholeheartedly as they embraced the truth of God's word. Specifically, there is one thing that they had discovered that they really held to. They held to the words of Psalms chapter 127, verse 1 and 2. Let us listen to that. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Back in those centuries, the 1600s, the 1700s, we had men and women who knew how to get hold of God. And they did not just know how to get hold of God, but they held so dearly unto God that they enjoyed and basked in the very presence of God. They knew how to bring him down so that he was not God who was far and distant, living in heaven above, as he left them to face the situations that were taunting them within those centuries. But they knew how to bring him right where they were so that God indwelt them in their midst. God surrounded them. God put his cover round about them, and they knew that he would build their homes. He knew that he would keep their cities safe. He knew that he would actually take away the bread of sorrows. They knew that God would cover them and bless them with peace. Today, things are different. It is not uncommon for you to move day after day, move through life, and you hear many people groaning under the weight of their pain. It is not unusual for you to hear people asking, "Where is God? Where is this great and mighty God?" Sometimes they don't ask it audibly for you to hear, but the groaning as they go through situations in their lives actually points to that very question. Where is the God of Daniel, who delivered him from the lions? Where is the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who delivered them from the fires? Where is this great and powerful God who actually delivered the children of Israel from their land of bondage in Egypt and walked with them through the wilderness, taking them to the promised land. So as you look at people asking these many questions, it is also not uncommon for you to realize that something is missing. So what is missing? You know, as I prepared for this lesson, I said I went to look at a little civic lesson. But I did not stop at that, because we are not actually living in the 1600s, neither are we living in the 1700s. Yet we are faced with the exact same challenges, the exact same question, the exact same fears in our century today. So looking at the subject of something is missing, and in trying to understand our own times, I also talked to people right here in our generation, in our own nation, and some across the nations, who are walking closely with God, shepherds of God's flock, to find out what is your view, what is your take when it comes to the presence of God? What are our times like? What is missing? Where is the disconnect? Some of the servants of God actually shared their thoughts, and I should say a good number of them. Of interest are four major thoughts that I think will be good for us to share together as we go through this lesson. One person who gave me this thought is a pastor outside of the United States. This is what he had to say. All around the world, great success is being experienced technologically, economically, socially, and politically. And yet, there seems to be a great dissatisfaction in people with their achievements. There is a great dissatisfaction with people and their governments, and even with life in general. Where is the gap? He asks. In the church, sermons and songs are having little effect on the faithful. What the church today is lacking is not good music. The church is not lacking nice sermons or great programs. The church is missing the presence of God. And by the way, this pastor who is talking about music, sermons, great programs, not having the exact effect that he would like to see, is also a great musician. So he's talking of something he's putting in all his energy, all his effort. And he can say firsthand that something is missing. I decided to have a cross-section so that we actually face life, we look at life in reality, because it's pointless for us to talk about things that are so far-fetched and leave what is affecting and gnawing right at us where we live. So I also approached a young engineer, an electrical engineer in his early 20s, working with GE or General Electric right here in our nation. And this is what he had to say, an engineer named Daniel. As a young adult navigating life in the 21st century, the ability to gain and share information is at the peak, regardless of the subject matter. However, something seems to be amiss. The Christian well of knowledge appears to be so deep, but the church is so shallow. And I can only say, God's presence is missing. I did not stop there. I looked also for somebody in a totally different profession. And so I talked to a brother named Chad, who is a web developer or a designer. And he had to say this very briefly. We have become so accustomed to functioning in the emptiness of our own power that we do not even realize that God's presence is missing. Last but not least, I talked to my own pastor. and he had profound wisdom and knowledge in what he had to say. Pastor Davy Shelton of Gateway Baptist Church had this to say: "The church of the 21st century has nicer and bigger facilities, and yet something is missing. The buildings have better lighting, sound, and the scenery is even better, and yet something is missing. The pastors are better educated. They are great orators with a wealth of information, and still something is missing. There are many ministries and activities, but still something is missing. What is missing in the church today?" he asked. But he turned around and answered his question, his own question, and said, "God's presence is the missing something." Even as we look at what is happening in our lives today, happening in our times, happening in our century, as we seek to establish exactly what is missing, there are a few facts that I'd also like to establish together with you. You are God's anointed child. If you are listening and you are God's child, you have submitted to the authority and the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins have been forgiven as you've repented and decided out of your own will to follow Christ and to live in the newness of life that follows salvation. Then I would like to reassure you and tell you, you are fashioned and anointed for God's work and purposes. And for that reason, by virtue of you being his child, God wants to dwell with you. God wants to show his love. He wants to guide, he wants to protect, and he also wants to provide for your daily needs. In fact, God's whole design for your life is for you to enjoy his presence. It is God who gives meaning. It is God who gives purpose. It is God who gives precision. It is God who gives victory. And ultimately, it is God who gives success. But a life that is devoid of the presence of God is a life of struggles. It is a life of challenges. And it is a life of many mistakes. In fact, a life that is devoid of God's presence, I can summarize and say, it is a life of a lot of inconsistency. It is a life of faithlessness. It is a life of unfruitfulness. It is not easy to be very productive in life when God's presence is not there. But you know, it doesn't stop there. You can actually be God's powerhouse to effectively minister to those who are hurting from spiritually rooted problems in our century today. Why? It is because this century is plagued with a lot of emptiness. It is true that we are filled with despair, with intense suffering and hopelessness. You look around and you find people's countenance is constantly bowing. It is down. Despair, hopelessness, emptiness. And man is still searching for that freedom. Man is still searching for that liberty. Man is still searching for those economic opportunities. Man is still searching for the opportunity to practice his freedom. Man is also still running away from persecution, just as those colonists did as they settled back here. It is God's presence that will turn your heart to sobriety. It is God's presence that is going to arouse your conscience again and restore you back to God. It is God's presence that is going to instill the fear and the reverence of God in our society. Nothing else will do. God's presence is also going to distinguish you as a child of God. God's presence is going to protect you. It is going to fight for you. Yes, we can actually experience the power that any man of God, any woman of God has experienced in the generations that have passed. God's presence is needed if your mind has to be preserved from the spiritual corruption that seems to be gnawing at us as a society. It is also God's presence that is going to bring order and hope, even in situations where man's hand is too short and too powerless to effect change. You can actually be God's treasured possession. Why? It's because you are a candidate for God's power and use. You are the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. It is God's presence that is going to help you fulfill your destiny today. It is God's presence that is going to help you minister to many people who are affected in our world today and they really don't know where to turn to. Today, society is actually crying out for real men and women who have God's hand on them, who have God's touch on them. Society is crying for men and women who will move under the power and the presence of God, those who can point others to a life of meaning and hope. And you know what? You are God's choice for such a time as this. That is because those who walk with God also experience His mighty power and they see His hand at work. It is true that God's presence is the missing something in our lives. It is the missing something in our own churches. It is the missing something in our society. God's presence is that missing something in our own homes and in our own lives. Generations have changed, yes, but God is still the same. God still walks with man today. God also still walks with man. God wants you to enjoy His love. He wants you to enjoy His power. Just the way He surrounded the children of Israel while they were walking from Egypt to the promised land, He also wants to overshadow you with His presence. God had given a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire that surrounded the children of Israel as they walked through the wilderness. Allow your heart to thirst again for the presence of God. Allow your heart to follow the psalmist when he says in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Allow your heart to thirst because God's presence in your life is everything. It is God's presence that is going to define who you are. It is God's presence that is going to shape you. It is going to determine how you operate in your life. Actually, God's presence will even dictate what you will have and what you won't have in life. The doors through which you're going to walk will actually be determined by either the presence or the absence of God. Even the choices you make in life are going to be influenced so much by your own walk with God. So you need to have God's presence. You need God's shadowing. So what is God's presence? What does it mean to have and not or not to have God's presence? God's presence is synonymous to God's own glory. But what happens when God's presence is withdrawn? And is it true that God can actually withdraw His presence? We are laying foundation and we shall dig a lot more as we get to learn more about God's presence. We are establishing the need of our time. God's presence can be manifested. When you talk about God's presence, we are talking about the evidence that God actually had and even showed the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, as seen in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. We are talking of God's glory. It can appear to his people, as we saw, as we shall see even in Exodus. His glory can be revealed. Isaiah looked at the glory of God that was revealed, and oh, his heart melted, and he saw himself as a man who had very, very unclean lips. God's glory can be seen. It illuminates. God's presence is actually God's own external manifestations. God doesn't have to always manifest himself physically, but he can show himself, he can descend, he can hover around his own people until you feel the presence, until you feel the protection, you feel the peace, you feel that inner calmness that he, with which he surrounds you. So God's presence is that clothing with which God himself is covered. It is like the light of his countenance. His presence literally signifies God's face. It implies that there is a close and a personal encounter with God. And this deep abiding presence of God follows an internalization of righteousness. So his glory and his presence reside in a heart to which God's radiant face can approve and applause by saying, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." So we need God's presence. We live in a world that has many challenges. You need strength from this great and infinite God who knows you very intimately. There is joy in his presence. You can live above the thorns, you can live above the thistles, you can live above the briars that are filling this sin-cursed world. You can experience God, and to experience God's presence is to actually experience the shining face of God upon you. It is for God to manifest himself very, very strongly in your life and on your behalf. It is to operate under the leadership, under the guidance and the influence of the Lord God Almighty. I pray that God will reveal himself even as he shows himself real.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.